Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. If you've been listening to a lot of the talking heads, perhaps you've been listening on the radio, television, listening in your neighborhood, you know, one of the things we're hearing that should cause us concern is a lot of bad theology. We're hearing a lot of things said about how God is related to Hurricane Katrina. We've had some people say God is just completely irrelevant, has nothing to do with it. We've heard people say that God must be powerless to have failed to prevent this. So we've heard other people say, look, maybe we just need to re-envision our entire way of looking at God. All kinds of ridiculous things that have been said, but we need to take them on. And so today we're going to be doing kind of an exercise in uncovering bad theology and trying to figure things out in order to have a proper and mature and responsible, biblically based Christian understanding of how we should think about Hurricane Katrina and the aftermath. We'll be talking about that in just a few moments. We're going to have some interesting clips from some media appearances and some other comments that have been made. But first, a review of the news. Big news out of California, where Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger now says that he will veto the bill that was passed just in recent days that would have legalized same-sex marriage in the state. It passed in the California Assembly just earlier this week by one vote, a vote of 41. Exactly the number needed to pass. One less, and it wouldn't have passed. But that tells us how, on the hinge of a big political and moral decision, one vote can count. Now, yesterday we looked at the fact that the proponents of this bill were saying that they hoped Arnold Schwarzenegger took a long view of history. In other words, they are absolutely certain that history, in the progressive unfolding in a liberal direction, will in the future honor those who exercise the political bravery, they would construe it, to affirm same-sex marriage. Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't buy the argument. And here's why this is really important. First of all, the political importance focuses on the fact that California is our most populous state. The political fallout from the adoption of same-sex marriage in California would be huge. The other reason why this is of particular interest is that Arnold Schwarzenegger is not a Christian conservative. He is not a moral conservative. He is a libertarian in terms of his political outlook. And so there were some who on the gay right side said maybe we have the hope that his libertarian worldview will come through and he will not veto this bill, but will rather consider that the government has no right to tell people whom they may and may not marry. But whatever his reasons, there is good reason to be thankful that Arnold Schwarzenegger has pledged to veto this bill. But watch carefully. It will be back. It is certainly not over. You can count on the fact that we'll be looking once again at the California Senate and the California General Assembly taking this up, because I can promise you that those who are pushing for the legalization of same-sex marriage are hardly going to go back and count this as a defeat. They're going to count this as one more step on the way. After all, they got their bill, albeit barely, they got their bill through both houses of the California legislature. And so I'm sure, and you can even see this in their current comments, I'm sure they're saying it's just a matter of time. Time is on our side. History is moving in an inexorable direction of increased liberalism and sexual freedom is the way they would characterize it. And it reminds those of us who believe that marriage is not merely a negotiable contract, but it is indeed a divinely instituted a reality for human happiness, that it is a divine institution that is not negotiable. It's heterosexual at its very core. If we are to understand that, then we have to look at the developments in California and realize that we are really up against it. That's not paranoid scare talking there. That's just honesty. When the legislature of our nation's most populous state votes for the legalization of same-sex marriage, that ought to tell us something of where we are. And that's one of the reasons when I hear people talk about America being a basically conservative people. Well, that's true if you talk to the man on the street. If you talk to the man or the woman on the street, even in California, there is massive opposition to same-sex marriage. But when you go into the chamber of government, that's where you find things very different. And that's where the democratic process really demonstrates that you can have, even in a state like California, with a popularly elected Senate and General Assembly, you can have elected officials who will simply defy the public will. And we're going to have to watch this issue and watch it closely. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, there is more bad news. 25,000 body bags delivered in the New Orleans region. It is still unclear how many dead there may be, how many victims they may eventually find. But we're also dealing with some really, really bad arguments coming out in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. We need to brace ourselves because there will surely be many, many more. But I want to take on one of the most volatile arguments you're going to hear. You're going to hear people say, look, race was a factor in the disaster in New Orleans. And I'm going to shock you by telling you that I believe that is at least partially true. It's just not in the true way that it's not true in the way that those who are trying to make the argument are presenting it in the public square. The real scandal in America is that this nation allowed a city, one of our major cities, to become so corrupt and so incompetent, so devoid of a social structure, so weak that it had no way of dealing with this. That is the true class and race-based argument, I think, that we need to bring to this. We need to recognize that those of us who live in America, we experience life in our own communities, we live in our own towns and our own states, but the regime of political correctness means that we really can't say what needs to be said about some state and local governments, and especially about some city governments, such as the city of New Orleans. Now, I'm going to express something else that may surprise some of you, because I think there aren't too many who are saying this as clearly as it ought to be said. It is a national disgrace that only the poorest of the citizens of New Orleans had no way out. That is a national disgrace. Now, here's what you're going to hear in response to that. You're going to hear people say, look, then it is the proper function of government to go in and solve that problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not believe that government can do that, because I think what we saw in New Orleans is not just a problem of human planning and human administration, it is a problem of the human heart. People have to care for people. Government's not going to care for people. Government may deliver some services, and right now we see where government does have a proper role. It is government that has the helicopters to fly in the food and to fly in the aid. But in the end, civilization, society, is held together not by governmental structures, but by a system of mutual responsibility, mutual respect, and mutual trust. And where that doesn't exist, then you see poor people who have no other option abandoned in the middle of an American city. And you see them abandoned while over 200 school buses get submerged because no one seems to have either the authority or the will to say, let's take those school buses and get those people out of here. Yes, there's a lot of scandal in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, and we're going to have to watch it very closely because we need to make certain that the real issues are being discussed here, and we need to be honest, and we need to be careful in considering the kind of arguments that are made in the public square. Speaking of that, we need to watch some of the arguments that are coming in the aftermath of the storm that really have nothing to do with the storm. The group MoveOn.org, a political action committee on the left that is very much opposed to the nomination of John Roberts as the next Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, had planned a television ad to run on Monday that will question whether Judge Roberts is, quote, sensitive enough to civil rights concerns to lead the Supreme Court. I'm reading from USA Today. The reporter says the ad suggests that the plight of the mostly African-American evacuees in New Orleans showed that poverty remains a serious problem among minorities. The connection is obvious, said Ben Branzell, the MoveOn.org advocacy director. The images after Hurricane Katrina show that we still live in a society where significant racial inequalities exist. We believe John Roberts' record on civil rights is clearly not the direction our country needs to head now. Now, reports are coming out this afternoon that MoveOn.org has been so embarrassed by the outrage over this ad that it is pulling it, and it's not actually going to run. But the very fact that they filmed it, the very fact that they wrote it, and the very fact that they intended to run it, if indeed it does not, tells us a great deal about how some people are going to be very ready to use even a disaster like Hurricane Katrina to their own political ends. Now, that can happen on virtually any side of the political spectrum. That's where a strong doctrine of sin helps us to expect that people will take advantage. But we need to be very clear. We need to be very honest. We need to indeed, in this case, be very sensitive to say it is absolutely wretched to use the images of Hurricane Katrina, the images of current and awful human suffering, to any political end. Shame on any politician, on any political action group, on any political party or political candidate who would dare to use such material and such suffering for their own purposes. Folks, there have been some really, really bad arguments made about Hurricane Katrina. The political arguments can be bad enough. The economic and demographic and bureaucratic kind of arguments are going to entail an awful lot of Washington attention, and you can count on congressional panels and investigative groups and all the rest. But I'm more concerned about the theological arguments being made. I'm concerned about the people who say, look, God would have done something if he could. Or the people who say, look, this just shows there isn't a God. Or the people who say, I know why God did this, because I know what they were up to. We'll be right back with the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Let me tell you, my email box has been hot over the last several days because I started a weblog feature entitled Bad Theology Watch. And, you know, this is where Christians need to take a deep breath and think seriously before we speak loudly. And, you know, I've been writing about these issues for years, and yet I am constantly reminded, and I'll admit sometimes troubled, when I hear Christians speak to some of these things. I wrote an article and posted it on Monday based on a report that came out of the Washington Post that said that some Christians are ready to say exactly why the hurricane hit New Orleans. One anti-abortion activist in Columbia, South Carolina, said that the full-color satellite map of Hurricane Katrina looked out to him, appeared to him as the image of an eight-week-old fetus. I'm quoting him here. He said, in my belief, God judged New Orleans for the sin of shedding innocent blood through abortion. End quote. A Christian journalist in Israel said that he believed that God sent this disaster to New Orleans because that America was complicit in the removal of the Israeli settlements in the Gaza Strip. From Philadelphia, another one who would speak as a Christian said that God had sent the hurricane to New Orleans because of a gay festival called Southern Decadence that was scheduled to be held there. Quote, we take no joy in the death of innocent people. He said, but we believe that God is in control of the weather. The day Bourbon Street in the French Quarter was flooded was the day that 125,000 homosexuals are going to be celebrating sin in the streets. We're calling it an act of God. Well, I came back to say, I don't think so. Now, I don't know that they're wrong. I just know that I think it's wrong to say this because God has not told us why this storm in this place. I'm just amazed that there's so many Christians who are ready to say, look, these are sins and God is going to pour out his wrath upon sin. And this is exactly what it looks like. Well, God's wrath upon sin is going to look a lot worse than this. You know, in the Bible, there is a very clear message. It is the law of sowing and reaping. As you sow as an individual or as a nation, so you will also reap. And we know exactly how that works. And I believe that God's judgment is on this country right now for sins like abortion and for the acceptance of homosexuality and for any number of other sins. Sins of which we're not even so aware, sins of injustice, sins of the kind of sexual licentiousness in the culture, the sins of the way we've weakened marriage through no-fault divorce. I believe if you want to come up with a catalog of our national sins, it will be huge. But that gives us no authorization to say, look, the people in New Orleans were more sinful than the people of any other American city. Now, did New Orleans celebrate sin in a pretty public way? You bet. It was called the Big Easy for a good reason. But that doesn't explain why San Francisco is dry. It doesn't explain why New Orleans seems to be safe with electricity on. It doesn't explain why Atlantic City or any number of other cities has not received a similar outpouring of divine wrath. And that's just in North America. That's just the U.S. You know, here's the deal. If you live in Alaska, you really don't have to worry about hurricanes. Hurricanes develop, when we're talking about the Atlantic sphere, they develop off the coast of Africa, they gather strength going across the Atlantic, and it just so happens that in a time we call the hurricane season, they tend to hit North America. About one out of three of the Atlantic storms eventually hits North America. Do we have the right then to say that God did this, and we know the reason why? Now, I want to come back and say several things we do know. Number one, God is absolutely sovereign. There are those who try to say, we just have to take God out of the equation. And that's why under the Bad Theology Watch, I had to tank on Anthony Campolo. Tony Campolo, a very, very popular author and teacher, often identified as an evangelical, but he wrote an article that was published at beliefnet.com in which he said that that God was doing the best he could do. He actually cites Jewish rabbi Harold Kushner, who wrote the book When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And he said that God is not the author of evil. Well, that's true, but that doesn't mean that God's not sovereign. And he went on and he actually quoted Kushner and he said, nowhere in the Hebrew scriptures does it say that God is omnipotent. Really? You know, he says that's a Greek term. Well, that's true. But let's talk to Daniel, who in Daniel chapter 4 said, I know who the one God is, the one true and living God, and no one can stop his hand. You know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament in particular, God is shown to be omnipotent, almighty, and all-powerful. And in the New Testament, we are told explicitly that he is. I find this entirely regrettable. We have to come back and say, no, God is sovereign. He is in control of every atom and molecule of the universe. Not only that, God is holy, and he does punish sin. He must punish sin. Is God's wrath being poured out upon planet Earth? You bet. Genesis 3 tells us that when Adam and Eve sinned, the entire cosmos suffered the consequences. We're told that the thistles came forth, the thorns from the bushes. We're told that the trees and the ground no longer willingly yielded fruit and produce. We are told that it will now be by man's sweat and toil that the earth will yield its crops. Yes, we do know that earthquakes and tsunamis and cyclones and hurricanes and tornadoes and all the rest, these are the result of human sin. But that does not give us the right to say that we know that this particular awful storm hit this particular place, affecting these particular people because of their sins. I find it almost incredible that we could say that and then sleep well in our towns, in our beds, in our homes at night. For who is without sin? Now, I would say that the best way to make this argument is that occurrences such as this should remind us of the wrath that is to come and should remind us that we are to flee the destruction that is to come, and that means fleeing unto Christ, because the only safe place to be found on that day of judgment, which will make Hurricane Katrina look like virtually nothing, will be to be found in Christ. That is the only safe place to be found, is in the grace and in the mercy of God as demonstrated to us in Jesus Christ. Is this a sign of God's wrath? In a general sense, yes. But there are some who now are trying to say, well, the Bible tells us that God doesn't do these things without speaking to his prophets. Well, I tell you what, the moment that Isaiah or Jeremiah come in, I'm going to listen to them as hearing from the Lord. But let's remember that we have the Word of God. We do not now count upon these kind of prophets. God now speaks to us through his Word. And his Word tells us that we must be very humble in making such claims. In John chapter 9, the disciples of Jesus, walking with the Lord, came across a man who was blind from birth. And they said, why is he blind? Was it his sin or the sin of his parents? And Jesus said, neither one. It was neither his sin nor the sin of his fathers that explains his blindness. He was born blind so that right now the glory of God may be demonstrated in him. And that's when Jesus healed him. The disciples dared to ask an audacious question. And they were chastised by Jesus for rushing to a conclusion that was not theirs to make. I worry that there may be many Christians who are doing the same thing. I had a third Bad Theology Watch article, and it had to do with one who suggested that God simply isn't a part of the equation. Niall Ferguson, our greatest living historian of empire, a Harvard University professor, he said that it's just wishful thinking to believe that God's a part of this. It's simply a natural disaster, he said. The best we can learn from something like this by observing it is that we need each other and we need to be nice to each other, and that a disaster like this should bring out the best in us in terms of benevolence. That just won't fit the Bible. So we have some trying to say too much and some trying to say too little. And folks, I want to hear what you have to say about this. When your neighbor, your child, or your fellow church member says, why did God do this? Or why did God allow this to happen? What are you saying? The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. It was earlier this week I appeared on the Shmuley Boteach show, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. We have clashed on several different occasions, usually on Larry King Live or on the Phil Donahue show. We had a very classic confrontation in person. It is always a mixture of heat and light. Rabbi Boteach is a massive personality, and he puts full energy into his attack mode. But we had an interesting conversation. I'm going to just play you a clip from this week's edition. I guess it was Tuesday I was on the program, the Rabbi Boteach Show. Let's listen to what we had to say to each other.
In your blog, where you respond to Christian spokespeople who are insinuating that America's sins caused God to send this hurricane, I find that your denunciation of them is sort of lukewarm. On the one hand, you say it is not for any of us to claim to know the mind of God. We don't know why God sends these things. And you even quote the book of Job, where God rebukes Job's friends for claiming to know why he was punished, what he may have done wrong, that he was unrighteous. But on the other hand, you say this, quote, abortion and homosexuality are deadly sins that corrupt a nation. You seem to be saying, you know, with all due respect, Dr. Mohler, and I have great respect for you, but you seem to be speaking out of two sides of your mouth.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I have to say that abortion and homosexuality, I believe, are grievous sins that afflict the nation. But I think there is no warrant for us saying that we know that God sent this hurricane to New Orleans for any particular sin. There's incredible arrogance in that, first of all, of assuming that that other cities are less sinful. And I have no doubt that God is a righteous judge who will judge every individual in every nation and that will do so righteously. But I really fear making the kind of claim that we know why these things have happened. And that's the arrogance I think we need to avoid.
Well, it was a fascinating exchange, and it went on for the better part of an hour. But the bottom line of it is that the rabbi said, I basically have to give up the category of sin in order to get off the hook of what he accused was a double-mindedness. He said, look, you're saying that you don't know exactly why God sent this storm to New Orleans. But he said, then you go on and say that that there will be punishment for sins like abortion and homosexuality. Well, I have to say that because the Bible says that. My conscience is bound by the Word of God. I don't have the ability to just allegorize from the text and decide I'll take this and I'll leave that. Wow. You know, I just think that there are a lot of Americans, nonetheless, who think like the rabbi thinks. I really believe that. And so that made that exchange perhaps worthwhile having and worthwhile hearing. Folks, the phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I wonder what you think. We're going to go right to Jackson, Mississippi, which actually was very much harmed by Hurricane Katrina. Rick's listening on XM Satellite Radio. Rick, go right ahead.
How are you doing today, Brother Miller?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to hear from you.
Hey, listen, I think you're right on, and I think it's so refreshing to hear a sliver of light in all of this that's happened down there, you know. But I think you're so right on. I just want to bring to people's remembrance, you know, what the Lord said about that building that fell down in Matthew and killed them people, and everybody wanted to know, you know, what kind of sins that they had committed to bring this disaster upon these people. And he said there was nothing. And he says, lest you repent, lest this happen to you. You know, so
yes.
I think we need to be called to repentance, you know, not just the people in New Orleans, but everybody in the world. This could happen to anybody. This is nothing that God sent to New Orleans.
Well, Rick, I appreciate your call. You made reference to the Matthean passage there, but I'll just point to the Lucan version, Luke chapter 13, where Jesus spoke of the same thing. And you're exactly right. I think it's important that twice, at least, Jesus really warned his disciples from presumptuousness in jumping to conclusions about why these particular people suffered. And, you know, see, here's the issue, Rick. I find it really unconscionable that there are a lot of people ready to make that argument about a storm, but they won't make it about someone who gets leukemia, or they won't make it about someone who was involved in an auto accident, or someone who gets struck by lightning. You know, if we're supposed to be able to make these judgments, then I guess we're supposed to make them. I just don't think we're given permission or authority to make those decisions. Is God's wrath being poured out? You bet. In fact, the only reason we are not destroyed wherever we are is that God's mercy is upon us. That is a radical Christian claim, and I promise you, you'll find it sustained in the Scripture. It is God's restraint, God's grace and mercy that explains how any of us right now are taking breath and enjoying life. There is a day of wrath that is coming, and the only way to be found safe on that day is to be found in the grace and mercy of God that is shown us in Jesus Christ. We live in a dangerous world. If anything, Hurricane Katrina has reminded us of that. There's mercy in understanding that as well. The phone number 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We'll be right back. I'm Albert Mohler. Also appeared last week on the Hugh Hewitt Show, and I put up a weblog entry about this. The transcript is up by Radio Blogger, and also you can hear the audio at Hugh Hewitt's website. I was on with John Mark Reynolds of Biola University and Mark D. Roberts, pastor of the Irvine Presbyterian Church in California. We had a great discussion about this. We were in general agreement, but it was interesting to have three theologians together talking with you about it, and I think you will find that interesting. If you're looking for some good arguments to make in terms of the conversations you have with your family and friends, that may help. You can go to Albert Mohler, MOHLER.com, and you can find it there. Weblog posted on Saturday of last week. All right, let's go to Scott calling from Clearwater, Florida, listening on WTBN. Scott, it's your turn.
Yes, hello. I'd just like to say I believe the storm was a direct result of what we did, taking the Israeli settlers off their property. God has an everlasting covenant with Abraham and his descendants. And I believe when we took them off their property, and Condoleezza Rice told Ariel Sharon, you will not only remove them from their property, but you will demolish their homes. And that was a direct slap in God's face. And 2 weeks later, a Category 5 hurricane hit New Orleans area, Mississippi, Alabama, and as a direct result, it killed a lot of people, damaged a lot of homes, but it is the wrath of God, and it's George Bush and our State Department is responsible.
Well, you know, Scott, I'll let you say all that, but I have to tell you, I find that absolutely incredible, to tell you the truth. You know, regardless of how you see, you know, Israel in terms of the modern state and biblical prophecy, I just can't imagine that you really think that you know that, that it was caused by this. First of all, you know, the decision to withdraw the settlers from the Gaza Strip was really made by Ariel Sharon. It was supported by the Israeli Knesset, and they did so because they believed it was in their national best interest. You know, why New Orleans? If you, I mean, you know, I'm trying to figure this out. Why then not Washington, D.C.? Can you help me with that, Scott?
Can I help you? Well, I don't know.
Well, you don't know that, but you do know it's supposedly because of the Gaza Strip. I mean, don't you understand that, I mean, there is no biblical text that tells us that we have the right to say we know that this happened for that reason, right?
Well, I'm not telling you exactly, but that is my, you wanted our opinion, right?
Right.
And there is an author. His name's John McTernan. Are you familiar with John McTernan?
No, I'm not.
He wrote a book called God's Final Warning to America and Israel. He co-authored another book called Israel, Blessing or Curse. Now, I'm not speaking for Mr. McTernan, but from what he said about in his book, God's Final Warning to America, he gave point after point of disasters that had happened to America, and it was in a cause and effect of national sin, and then a horrible tornado or a flood in the Mississippi in 1993, or a Florida vote overturning an abortion, you know, a parent's right to have.
Uh-huh. Parental notification law you're talking about, and then the hurricane that came after that, I assume. So, well, I appreciate your call, Scott. I just, and I do respect the fact that you're listening and thinking and calling. I just want to suggest that I can't go with you. I have to say that. I can't go with you on this argument. Because I agree that basically almost all those things you mention are sin. Now, when it comes to Israel, That's a very complicated situation, and I want Israel to prosper. And I do believe that God, by his own word, is not finished with his people. I believe that all of his promises to Israel will be fulfilled. But, you know, I am not in a position, and I don't really understand how anyone else is in a position to I have to say this honestly, to jump from A to B to C on this one. But I do appreciate you calling. And what Scott is talking about here is not only true for himself. There are a lot of people, he mentioned an author, there are a lot of people making that argument. I have to tell you, I've heard it out there in radio land. You can certainly find articles that are supporting that. And let me also point out that one of the difficulties I have, and I say this with full respect, one of the difficulties I have is that, you know, different people are identifying different sins. That I find somewhat perplexing, too. Scott said it was Gaza, the withdrawal of the Israeli settlements in Gaza. The pastor that I quoted earlier, the leader I quoted earlier, said it was because of abortion, and then a third one said it was because of homosexuality. You know, I just don't think this helps our Christian witness when we're not even able to get our story straight on this. And I think it's because this is particularly how we should not be trying to speak. I think Jesus' warnings to his own disciples ought to be warnings to us. God is absolutely sovereign. His wrath is being poured out upon humankind. His judgment is being spelled out in terms of the cataclysmic events of world history, including the weather. But I just don't think he's given us the right to say, I know why this one happened to these people. Let's go to Deborah calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, WTBN. Deborah, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Mueller. Thank you very much. First, I want to tell Scott parental notification did pass in Florida. So, but secondly, I want to say instead of being derogatory about the Lord, I feel that we should be praising him because we had a storm for 2 days headed straight towards New Orleans, and it was at 165 miles an hour. A couple hundred miles off the coast, it slowed down to 140, and it turned to the east. So as far as I can see, we don't serve a God who was trying to condemn these people. He may be trying to make a statement. I don't know. But all I know is that I believe he heard the prayers of his children, and I believe he listened to us because we were praying for him to help the children in New Orleans and in that whole coast, and I believe he answered us.
Well, I really appreciate what you have to say, Deborah. We do, and you point us to something very important. We do need to say that God's mercy was evident, of course, in the fact that the devastation was not worse than it could have been. Had the Category 5 storm hit New Orleans directly, we will be talking about a multiple of the casualties we're talking about now. That's not to take anything away from the absolute scope and scale of this human disaster. But it is to say that it could have been worse. And it could have been worse, morally speaking, than what happened in New Orleans. There could be absolute lawlessness breaking out across this country. I see God's mercy in the fact that there were Christians racing to help. That there are Christians right there to help to rescue those who are perishing, to help to be there to give food and water and hope. Deborah, I appreciate your call. Folks, this is one of those conversations that we really need to have, and I can promise you we're going to have to take this one up again. We've got calls lined up from all over America. This is the kind of conversation I think a lot of Christians have been waiting for, and so we're going to come back and revisit this issue again, but I'll be back with some final thoughts in just a moment. Coast to Coast. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back. This has been a fascinating discussion, and really it's just kind of a down payment on a long conversation we need to have in the future because the press attention will eventually dissipate in terms of Hurricane Katrina, but the long-term questions will linger, and we really need to give them the kind of intellectual attention that they deserve. That's a part of our Christian witness, that we don't just have answers to questions like this. We don't just struggle with questions like this. In the face of an urgent disaster, we're ready to give an answer at any moment for the hope that is within us. That's an important Christian responsibility. We've got just a little over 2 minutes. We're going to go into a lightning round here with a couple of callers I want to get in. First to Scott from St. Petersburg. It's your turn.
Hey, Dr. Mueller. Thank you for taking my call. I really think as Christians we should be praying for the people there to receive Christ as their Savior. And for me, for all Christians, the Bible talks about discerning the times. I think this is just looking at birthing pains of coming to the end, and I really think, and as everyone, we don't know when the end of the world, when Jesus is going to come back, but I think it's going to be in our generation, as did generations before. But the way things are escalating in our culture, in our society, and the way things are going, this is a strong message of gambling and those type of lifestyles is not the way of happiness and how we should live. It's in Christ Jesus, and I think this is just a birthing pain.
Well, Scott, I tell you what, you make a couple of very profound points. One of them is we need to pray for the conversion of the people there. They will come to know Christ, and I join you wholeheartedly in that. And the other is that we need to be attuned to the sign of the times, and this certainly is a warning of the wrath that is to come. We're going to go to Dana calling from Gaithersburg, Maryland, listening on the web. Dana, it's your turn.
Dr. Moeller, you know, I agree with everything that you have been saying. The thing that troubles me is it seems that every time we have a calamity like this, 9/11, whatever it is, we have to keep revisiting this same issue. Why does God cause these things or allow these things? And I think it's a failing of our churches to teach good theology, to teach the doctrine of sin, that the God of love that we worship and call Father is still a God of wrath and that there's still judgment for sin on everyone.
All right, Dana, it was really good of you to call back. I know we lost your signal because you made a point we need to hear just as we're going out on today's program. Yes, it is a failure of the church when we do not teach these truths concerning God and sin and Christ and the gospel and do so that this is so deeply ingrained in God's people that in the face of a disaster like this, they're not cast back to ground zero. They don't have a blank disk drive that isn't telling them anything filled with biblical truth. We need to be saturated with the scripture. It's a failure of the pulpit. Dana's exactly right. It's a failure of the church. It is also an intellectual failure on the part of Christians, many of whom simply don't take these questions seriously. The world's taking them seriously. And those who love the gospel and those who love God must take them seriously as well. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for giving this your thought. This is a conversation we'll continue. We'll meet you tomorrow for the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.